the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1034. 1034. Jesus, my soul's athirst for thee. Absent from thee I cannot rest. Come now, reveal thyself to me. I cannot leave thy throne unblessed. My base ingratitude I mourn, a needy, helpless sinner still. Dear Lord, I wait thy sweet return, thy gracious promise to fulfill. Hymn 1034.
Thank you. read together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the Gospel according to Luke, part of chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we shall commence our reading from verse 22. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, commencing from verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of a city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there were there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. They also saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched a border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Most holy, almighty, merciful and gracious God, do help us to come before thee now, as we gather together, some here within the chapel, others perhaps listening from their homes, but may the gathering of the people be unto thee. And Lord, we come professedly to worship thee, but oh, to be a true worshipper, to worship God in spirit and in truth. We gather together in thy name, and may we prove thy promise tonight. There am I in the midst. O come, Lord Jesus, by thy Spirit and by thy word, and make one in our midst. And may thy presence be known and felt. O Lord, who come and touch our hearts, soften our hard hearts. And O Lord, who draw us unto thyself, we turn in from the busy scenes of life and all of those various things we have been attending to this day, in the home, in the workplace, whether near or far. O Lord, but now we have this opportunity. We turn aside. We leave those things. We come before thee. And with the hymn writer, come, Holy Spirit, calm my mind, and fit me to approach my God. Remove each vain, each worldly thought, and lead me to my blessed abode. May it be good for us to be here. Oh, may there be a purpose according to thy grace. Lord, who come and touch our hearts. Oh, put it into our hearts, if I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And Lord, may there be somebody have touched me. May there be those coming, pressing through the crowd, to touch thee if I may, to reach forth that finger of faith, to touch and to receive healing virtue. He sent his word and healed them. And Lord, may we, like that Gadarene now healed, also be found sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning of him. So Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Blessed are our souls thy word. Grant us that right understanding of thy word. Do not interpretations belong unto God? And may thy Spirit take of the things of Jesus and apply them with divine power into our hearts. Oh, to be a good ground hearer, to understand the word of God, to receive the word of God, to believe the word of God. And may thy precious word have such an effect in our hearts. Lord, as it is in nature, we would be thankful for the plentiful rain that thou hast sent upon the earth to replenish, and all the good surely that it will do. Lord, we would be thankful, but we long for those spiritual blessings. We long for those showers of blessing. We long for the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Even as the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven and watereth the earth, that it may bring forth and bud to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I do please, and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. May it be so tonight. Send forth thy word in divine power, unction, authority. Cause it to enter in. And oh, to be a recipient, to receive the good word of God. Lord, a word in season, a word to awaken, a word to convict, a word to wound, a word to lay low, a word to humble, a word to strip of our own self-righteousness, a word of warning, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word of direction, a word of guidance, a word to strengthen, a word to support, a word to help us in our way. were to come just where we are. And thou knowest, Lord, where we are. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Dear Lord Jesus, do come even this night. So remember each one gathered. Lord, do remember each one present. Attend to every case, supply every need, and bless each soul. Remember any in a particular case, a particular need, an urgent pressing case, spiritual or providential. Lord, remember such. Well, we would remember those who would be here if they could, but have been prevented, and do go to them. And remember any who could have come but had no desire to come. Remember them and touch their hearts. And bless this cause of truth. And may they yet prove that thy spirit remaineth here. Do help thy servants and minister from time to time. And may they come as sent of God with that word from the Lord. And bless the preaching of the gospel here. Lord, remember each one in the congregation, each member of the church, and the officers of the church also. And may they be at peace, in love, and unity, and harmony, well pleasing unto God. Lord, what we pray for here, we pray for each cause of truth in Zion, and all of thy people. Remember all thy true sent servants. Could it please thee, Lord, yet to raise up, equip, and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry? The need is great. Oh, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Lord, send forth more labourers, we pray. And where this exercise may be in the hearts of one and another, deepen that exercise. Oh, give that soul no rest. Lord, may that appointed time come when they must go and show themselves unto Israel to preach the everlasting gospel. Oh, Lord, remember Zion. Have mercy, Lord, we pray. Oh, be very gracious, Zion, minished and brought low. Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave. Oh, the enemies are coming at all sides. Lord, defend thy people. O Lord, look upon Zion and be that wall of defence, that wall of fire round about. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord will be round about his people henceforth now and forever. We would remember all in affliction. And we would especially remember our dear friends at St. Ives and one in hospital. Lord, in his condition, oh, draw near to him in an especial way. Remember him at this time, this great happening that has happened. Oh, Lord, sanctify these things. Remember his dear wife also, she looks on. Oh, Lord, do bless them together. And could it please thee, Lord, to grant some measure of healing, restoration, repair, if it be thy holy will, but in all things thy will be done. But, Lord, be very gracious. Oh, we commit and commend them unto thee. We think of others also in afflictions, those undergoing treatment, those suffering much pain and distress. Oh, may they know thy sufficient grace. Oh, do comfort their hearts, and those in bereavement, sadness and loss, remember them also. And yet, Lord, we would be thankful for all thy many, many blessings and favours yet bestowed upon us. We have so much to be thankful for. We just feel we come so far short in our thanksgiving. Too much we take for granted. And how true it is, we do not really appreciate what we have until it's taken away. So, Lord, we would be truly thankful, and in everything give thanks, and be ye thankful. So, Lord, hear our poor prayer. Help us through this service. Be the master of the assembly. Command the blessing, but glorify thy name. Pardon and forgive our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone.
Hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy Spirit guide. I cannot from my idols part, nor love the Lord with all my heart, nor can myself deny. I cannot pray and feel thee near, nor can I sing with heavenly cheer, unless the Lord be nigh. Hymn 904.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15 and the final clause in verse 26. The book of Exodus, chapter 15, and the final clause in verse 26. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. This chapter begins with the children of Israel, if you will, on this side of the Red Sea. And their enemies, the Egyptians, their oppressors, their persecutors, their foes, who had caused them so much misery and distress and trouble and affliction and sorrow for so many, many years, were the army of them now utterly destroyed and dead upon the seashore. We know the account well. The wonders God alone can do. And the chapter begins with the children of Israel overflowing with thankfulness unto the Lord their God in that great deliverance which the Lord would ever remind his people of, that brought me forth with a mighty hand out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, and what appeared to them to be such an utter impossibility, God made possible. He made a way where there was no way. The Lord appeared for them in their time of need. The Lord did not fail them. The Lord did not forsake them. The Lord did not forget them. The Lord was very gracious and very merciful. He made that way through the sea, and they came through by faith. The Lord led them forth by the right way. And the Egyptian army, being very presumptuous, sought to follow until they were overthrown and utterly destroyed. The Lord will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I'm just going to digress. The thought just comes to mind. There was a great lesson the children of Israel had to learn on the yonder side of the Red Sea as they stood there, apparently trapped, the Red Sea before, the mountains either side, and now pursuing them, this great army of Pharaoh, the Egyptians, and their chariots and so on, as well as all their weaponry. There seemed to be no way out. They cried out in fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The children of Israel had to leave everything in God's hand. Maybe one tonight, in great distress, in great trouble, and you feel pressed, you've got to do something. Dear soul, this is what you've got to do. Leave it all with God. It's hard. I know the flesh feels it must do something. I've got to do something. I believe that's the best thing we can ever do, is commit everything unto God. Of course, it doesn't mean being fatalistic. It doesn't mean being presumptuous. It means being found in much prayer, crying mightily unto God, as the dear psalmist also learnt. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. For these things, saith the Lord, I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, to do them unto you. Do we not believe in I am the Lord, the one true, living, almighty, sovereign God, the prayer hearing and prayer answering God, the Lord who has promised never to forsake his people and fail his people, the Lord who ever knows what he himself would do. And may we not be left to limit the Holy One of Israel. Well, the children of Israel have this wonderful deliverance. And now, finally, they're out of Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land. The Lord will go before them. The Lord will be their good shepherd. He will take care of them. He will provide for them. Again, he would not forsake them, fail them. They come 3 days' journey into the wilderness and found no water. Grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. If you and I are blessed with the grace of God in our hearts, that grace at times will be tried to prove its reality, to prove it is of God. And sometimes that trial may be very severe, may be very prolonged, may be very deep, may be very painful. And yet, there is a purpose to prove thee. What a great trial came upon Job. And at one point Job cried out, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Well, of course, the children of Israel were in this arid wilderness and there was no water. Something we do not appreciate, we do not really understand. We in our country, we go to the tap, we turn on, there's water. Even in the past summer, the heat, the talk of drought, there was still water. But here they found no water. And they needed it to live. Naturally speaking, there was no two ways about it. No water, they couldn't survive for long. They found no water. And then the trial continues. They come to Marah. They see water. What a great relief. At last, there's water. God hasn't failed us. God hasn't forsaken us. God has led us forth by the right way. Here is water. But now they cannot drink of it because the waters are so bitter. Bitter water. It seems that their hopes have been raised and then dashed. This is one of the ways the Lord deals with his people. Sense and reason, natural understanding, cannot understand it. But God-given faith approves it, though so sorely tried at times. And we've seen to have our hopes raised, prospects brightened, anticipation of the Lord appearing, and then our hopes seem to be dashed. Oh, where there was hope, now that hope seems to be taken away. Where perhaps there was that way, now there's no way. Where we were looking for relief, there seems to be no relief. What do we do at such a time? Well, it can be almost the hardest thing to do, still to trust in God. Still to trust in God. Now you see a great difference here again between the people in general and Moses. The people murmured. And it wouldn't be the first time that they would murmur. We read here in verse 24, they murmured against Moses, but really they were murmuring against God. Moses also with them was following the cloudy pillar by day, the fiery pillar by night. But the people murmured. And isn't it a sad fact, ye that fear the Lord, the times that you and I also murmur against the Lord. Murmur because things are contrary. Murmur because things are difficult. Murmur because things are trying. murmur because God hasn't answered our prayers in the way we wanted him to answer our prayers. We murmur because all these answers seem long delayed. Oh, we murmur because things are so hard and painful and trying. How often we murmur. The people murmured. What do we read of Moses? He cried unto the Lord. Where are you tonight? Murmuring or crying unto the Lord? Perhaps a little of both. Surely it's the old man of sin that murmurs against God. But it's the new man of grace which cries unto the Lord. Well, may grace overcome the old man of sin. Or may the Lord keep us from murmuring. May the Lord help us to cry unto the Lord. You just think of Psalm 107. Four times the children of Israel came into trouble. And in their trouble they cried unto the Lord. And each and every time the Lord delivered them out of their distresses. You know, sadly, Satan, the world, self, unbelief, distrust will keep us from crying unto the Lord. What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Satan still puts thoughts into the mind. What's the point? What's the point in praying? The Lord isn't going to deliver you. The Lord isn't going to bless you. The Lord isn't going to help you. There's no point crying unto the Lord. Oh, but may the Lord grant us that faith and increase our faith. Still to cry unto the Lord. You think of Hannah. And it must have been years, literally, she was crying unto the Lord. And there was Peninnah, boasting. And for Hannah to keep crying unto the Lord when she just seemed to meet with denials month by month. There is nothing. But she couldn't give up. She couldn't give up. Dear friends, I preach to myself, but how often do we give up crying unto the Lord? It may be in certain particulars. There seems to be no hope. The Lord isn't hearing me. The Lord isn't going to answer me. And Hannah was so sad, but she still cried unto the Lord. And that appointed time came. Oh, that time of great blessing when the Lord would yet appear for her. And bless her. And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. Which when he cast into the water. So that tree must have been cut down. Then cast into the waters. And the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. He proved them. They failed. But God never failed them. Oh, how often do we feel to fail God. And brought to the test, the trial of our faith. And we fail. Why is it ye have no faith? Where is your faith? To trust in a wise and gracious God. And the Lord showed him a tree. Jesus. Christ and him crucified, which when he was cast into the waters were made sweet, those bitter waters were now made sweet and drinkable. And so once again they prove the wonders God alone can do. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. The dear Lord Jesus, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So we read part of that chapter in Luke chapter 8, three times. We see there the Lord Jesus full of compassion and ability to heal. First the Gadarene. No man could heal him. An impossible case, a legion of devils. He was uncontrollable. Oh, he was so ferocious. He was so plagued. But Jesus came and cast out the devils. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And to see that same man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Mention next the woman with the issue of blood. And with her, another wonderful example of God-given faith in pressing through the crowd. The Holy Spirit had put into her heart, if I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now that she was afflicted, that she had this disease for 12 years. We know that she'd been to many physicians, but not one of them could heal her. Not one of them could help her, not one of them could cure her. Indeed, she waxed for worse until she heard of Jesus. Never known as a natural physician, but what faith was given to her to so believe in him, that healing virtue that would be found in him. One thing she needed, and that was to come to the Lord Jesus. We do wonder if she was in a very weakened condition, and perhaps in and of herself it seemed utterly impossible. I haven't got the strength. I haven't got the ability to come, and yet I must come. Like the prayer of importunity, that she must venture. She must venture. She knew that she was afflicted, she knew that she had this great affliction, but she also knew that the Lord Jesus, him only, could heal her. She had to venture. And sometimes the Lord's dealings with his people, he brings them to those spots where they have to venture. Or they have to take that step. They have to venture to him just as they are. And then her faith would be further tried. I'm sure there were times when Jesus was walking and perhaps only his disciples were with him. You think when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, it was him and just three disciples. Other times, perhaps, a smaller crowd. But on this occasion, a great crowd, pressing him, thronging him. And she may have looked upon that crowd and there just seemed to be no hope. I will never reach him. I will never be able to come. I could never press through that crowd. It is impossible. And yet such is her faith, she must still venture. And she came in faith, but I like to think of this, the dear Lord Jesus, who knew all about her, was drawing her unto himself. And dear soul, if the Lord has put it into your heart, your felt need of the Lord Jesus to heal thee, and you know that you have to come to him, and yet you feel so weak, perhaps weak in faith. You feel so feeble. You feel so troubled, so burdened. And yet you long to venture. Oh, do you feel something of that drawing? Being drawn to the feet of Jesus. Well, by faith, she pressed through that crowd. She touched. Oh, what a touch. And she felt that healing immediately. And Jesus felt that healing virtue go out of him. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. find you, she thought she could steal away. But Jesus said, somebody have touched me. Just feel rather burdened in spirit. Perhaps tonight the same might be said. Somebody have touched me. Somebody here has drawn forth out of the Lord Jesus by faith that healing virtue. You've known something of his healing, perhaps a soul, circumstance, mind. And now you would hide away. Keep it to yourself. Well, she knew what the Lord had done for her. He knew what he had done for her. But he wouldn't allow her to steal away, to hide away. Somebody have touched me. And Jesus would not take another step until that woman saw that she was not hid. And she came. And what a testimony. She had to declare before all their present for what cause she came, what she had done inasmuch as touch him, and how she had been perfectly healed. Then will I tell to sinners round, what a dear Saviour I have found. I point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole, saving faith. And then finally, well, really it's the 12-year-old girl. But Jairus, her father, coming to the Lord Jesus concerning his one and only daughter, and she was dying. The anguish of heart he must have had, knowing it was urgent, it was pressing, and he came to Jesus. He pleaded Jesus to come, believing that Jesus in coming would heal her. Now he had faith. He has strong faith. He didn't have that faith of a centurion. You remember the centurion who sent word to the Lord Jesus, speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. But the Lord doesn't despise small faith. And so he came. But then what a trial to Jairus when to him that hindrance of the woman, the hindrance of the crowd first of all, then secondly the woman, and he didn't know about that woman. Jesus knew all about it. And then as that woman went on her way rejoicing, being fully healed, greatly blessed, greatly comforted, he sees his servants looking very pale and sad and troubled. Trouble not the master. Thy daughter is dead. There's no hope now. It's all over. Again, I can only draw a bow at a venture. Maybe one tonight, and that thought comes to you. Trouble not the master. That thought has come from Satan. I'm not speaking against the servants as far as they were concerned. They were speaking factually. Any thought comes into our minds to trouble not the master, the Lord Jesus in prayer, it comes from Satan. They were saying, don't come any further, there's no point. All hope that we should be saved has now been taken away. But when Jesus heard it, all those wonderful words of the Lord Jesus, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. As far as we can tell, Jairus was silent. He didn't try to reason, but Lord, she's dead. It's too late. This hindrance has cost her life. Surely nothing can be done now. And yet there was the dear Lord Jesus, with whom nothing shall be called impossible. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. coming to the house of wherever the official mourners weeping, wailing. And when Jesus said, "She sleepeth," they laughed him to scorn. But he put them all out. And how we need the Lord to put out all of our unbelieving thoughts and feelings. How we need the Lord to put out all of our unbelief, doubts and fears and questions and misgivings, and to trust alone in him. For I am the Lord that healeth thee, took her by the hand, made arise, and she that was dead, her spirit came again, and she lived. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, these things are written for our comfort, our edification, our teaching. I am the Lord that healeth thee. But Jesus also taught that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And throughout the accounts in the Gospels of the Lord Jesus and all the healing that he did, it sets forth a spiritual. A spiritual. There was one character who came to the Lord Jesus, and as far as we can tell, she was not sick in body. She was not blind. She was not deaf. She was not maimed. She did not have leprosy. She did not have any other disease or ailment, as far as we can tell. Just one word really is given to describe her. She is a sinner. She is a sinner. Speaking of that woman who came to the feet of Jesus in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And it was the Pharisee Simon who thought in his mind, if this man, the Lord Jesus, were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman she is, for she is a sinner. Jesus knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she was a sinner. Jesus knew that Simon was a sinner. But Simon didn't know that he was a sinner. He would have been offended. He would have been angry. Me, a sinner? I'm a Pharisee. I'm upright. I'm good. I do good. I'm not like that sinful woman. I'd never do that. And yet in his very heart he would do exactly the same. Indeed, he was manifesting that sin of pride. But he wouldn't think himself pride. No, not me. I'm a godly person. I'm not proud. I'm very humble. So he was proud over his humility. You see how sin breaks through in every part, in every way. But he was in denial. Never had the truth revealed unto him. But that woman, she was convicted through and through. She was utterly broken and contrite and penitent. She knew that godly sorrow which worketh repentance. She knew that she was a sinner and a great sinner. And she mourned because she was a sinner. She wasn't proud that she was a sinner. She wasn't pleased that she was a sinner. She was in great distress because she was a sinner. She was weeping. No mere crocodile tears. They were real tears from her heart. She was weeping at the feet of Jesus. And I believe there at the feet of Jesus, she was pleading for mercy, pardon, forgiveness. Yes, perhaps a notable sinner, but with the psalmist, she would say, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." She knew the plague of her own heart. She knew the truth. She knew that she was a sinner. But she came to the one who could heal her, could save her, could redeem her, could pardon, could forgive. Oh, that love she had in her heart toward the Lord Jesus. And Jesus also would love her. And when Jesus spoke to her, her sins were forgiven. for that love must have increased dramatically. I am the Lord that healeth thee, that healeth all thy diseases. In scripture, in biblical times, the disease of leprosy was incurable. There was no cure. And when one was diagnosed with it, it must have been absolutely awful. What faith has given to that leper again to come to the Lord Jesus. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will be thou clean, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And surely there we see something of that disease of sin, that plague of sin, that we are all sinners, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But how many know it? As the hymn writer also penned, though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. Are we found amongst the few? It's the same few who strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. A little remnant of spirit-taught souls. A little remnant of souls born again, quickened by the Holy Spirit. A little remnant who know the truth, who have been taught the truth, that they are sinners, that they have sinned against God, and are in and of themselves, there is no cure. There is no remedy. Nothing man can do. We return to that woman. She went to many physicians. Not one could help her. And she couldn't help herself. Myself I cannot save. Myself I cannot keep. But strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. The Lord is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. A guilty sinner, that broken law of God, one who has broken all 10 commandments that God has commanded man to obey. But we have disobeyed, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity. Our sins are innumerable. But oh, to be blessed with that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the physician of souls. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, do we feel that need of healing? Do we know anything of the plague of our own hearts, the distress of sin, that malady of sin? Oh, how it's right throughout us. Indeed, from the heart of man proceed all those evils, the heart deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked. Can bring forth nothing but sin. And yet I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, to be taught our need of the Lord Jesus alone, to save us from all of our sins, and to believe in him. And then, like that woman, like others also, to venture to him. Oh, to come to him. The dear, loving, lovely Saviour who is able to heal, whose precious blood shed at Calvary cleanseth from all sin. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Many a child of God has been so tempted and troubled that their sins are so innumerable, there seems to be no hope. Here we limit the Holy One of Israel. We limit the mercy of God. We limit the love of God. We limit the grace of God. We limit the blood of the Lord Jesus that cleanseth from all sin. And yet perhaps one is troubled, but I fear I'm not one of the elect. I'm not one of the chosen people. I'm not one of the Lord's dear people. But what think ye of Christ is the test? How many come to, if you will, the wrong door? They come knocking at the door of election, Am I one of the elect? Of course it is a great concern. But oh, may the Lord lead us forth by the right way to the door of his mercy. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, to come as a guilty sinner to a precious Jesus. And I still find it so wonderful in all four gospel accounts, indeed, throughout the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus, there wasn't one soul who came to him, in that sense, needing healing. Wasn't one soul who came to him whom the Lord Jesus rejected, denied, turned away. There wasn't one soul to whom the Lord Jesus replied, I cannot help you. I will not help you. No, he healed all that had need of healing. And there's our mercy to know that need of healing. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, the Lord grant us that faith to come to him, to press through that crowd, to touch thee if we may, and to receive that same healing virtue. Ah, that same healing virtue which can never be exhausted, can never run dry, can never fail. For I am the Lord, the same yesterday and today and forever, that healeth thee. We read, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Many times have the children of Israel rebel against the Lord. Many times have they backslide. Many times they intermingled with the heathen. Many times they forsook God. Many times they got themselves into trouble and distress and affliction because they forsook the Lord their God. But when they turned back, when they repented, when they returned unto the Lord healed them. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. You think of that with Naomi, the husband and two sons, they go off into Moab because of the famine. And there they sojourn for a time, and Naomi suffers first the loss of her husband and then the loss of her two sons. I went out full, but I return back empty. The Almighty have dealt bitterly with me. And to see that woman returning back, yes, albeit with Ruth, not knowing the future, not knowing what would happen to her, a poor widow, who would take care of her, who would look after her, who would be mindful of her. She'd been in Moab. Would anyone want to know her now? Oh, call me not Naomi pleasantness, but call me Mara bitterness. The Almighty have dealt bitterly with me. But then how the Lord would use Ruth. First in the gleaning, and then concerning Boaz. And in her marriage to Boaz, there was such a provision there for Naomi. Oh, she must have felt so comforted. Her gracious God indeed, who was very gracious. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Think also of that man who fell among the thieves on the road down to Jericho. Many lines of thought can be drawn from that account. But the fact is that he fell among thieves and they stripped him, wounded him badly, to leave him half dead and robbed him of all that he had. At times Satan comes upon a child of God. Satan uses agents against the child of God, the persecutors. And that child of God is taken and beaten and stripped and robbed and left in such a pitiful condition, half dead. I pass over the priest and Levite, but that certain Samaritan who had compassion. He would not pass by on the other side. But when he saw him, he came to him, poured in the oil and the wine, and bound up his wounds. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, at times it's in our circumstances. It's under various afflictions and distresses. And vain is the help of man. But oh, to prove I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you think that man, he was in such a mess, such a state, that the Good Samaritan, he healed him, he put it all right. And sometimes when Satan comes upon a child of God, the people of God, oh, they're left in such great distress. Everything is out of order. Oh, everything's in such a terrible mess. But when the Lord comes, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Healeth all thy diseases. We have that word, again, I think it's in Psalm 107. He sent his word and healed them. Or perhaps tonight, the word of God might come as that healing balm. The Lord knows how and when and where to apply his word. And God is sovereign how he may apply his word. But at times it comes as a healing balm. It comes to soothe. It comes to recover. It comes to repair. It comes to put right. It comes to restore. Come back to this point, the wonders God alone can do. I know, of course, in nature there are diseases, there are afflictions, incurable, terminal. And sometimes it is, the sickness is unto death, but it doesn't alter our text. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And there have been times of remarkable recoveries. And the Lord has been pleased for his great name's sake to grant such healing. I am the Lord that healeth thee. But I think he sent his word in divine power, unction and authority, and the gospel. The glorious gospel, the glad tidings of great joy. Christ and him crucified. That tree cut down, cast into the waters. And at times in our troubles and distresses, to consider him who endures such contradiction of sinners against himself. Oh, to remember him in all of his sufferings and agonies and sorrows. He died that his people might live. He bore the iniquity of many. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. They tempted him upon the cross. He saved others himself. He cannot save. If he be the Son of God, let him come down from the cross and we will believe. But no, the Lord Jesus would not come down. He must save his people. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved. For I am the Lord that healeth thee, and that there is no other. None other name, no other way, no other refuge for sinners, no other soul physician, but the Lord Jesus. Yea, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. I'm sure many of you have heard of that Bible of an old lady. On so many pages there were T and P. Tried and proved. In her experience and the Lord's dealings with her. The word of the Lord is tried. And she was tried many, many, many times. And yet she proved the faithfulness of God. Oh, she proved this word to be true as it was applied to her. may we also prove a good word of God. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. You notice it's personal, that healeth thee. And, oh, if we feel that need of healing, our never-dying soul, or the state of our soul as guilty sinners, but to see in the Lord Jesus that good physician who is able to heal, willing to heal, all that come unto God by him, and may we prove personally, savingly, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I just want one final, very brief thought. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Over breaches. The breaches in Zion. The work of the enemy. To get in. To cause hurt and harm and disorder. And trouble and distress. Oh, for the Lord to appear. To reconcile. To give peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Oh, may the Lord grant that healing of every breach, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Tuesday evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation on Saturday afternoon. Let us close with hymn 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Hymn 132.
now. May the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.